been making some more video today. I haven't been making it, but Brother Owens, Brother David Paul, and some of the others has. Our Brother Walker was interviewed today on TV. David was telling me it was a real wonderful interview. And also we got a chance to talk to Brother Al Gonzalez today. I think David talked with Al, and he said it was real interesting in the interview with both of them. So then people, you know, here we hear about the work in South America and what we're trying to do. We hear about the work in Jamaica. We hear this with a regularity. But many people that are out yonder in the different places of the world, they don't get to hear about those things. And they don't know just exactly what's going on sometimes. And it really, really does them good to be able to sit down the TV or somewhere and hear somebody talking about the wonderful things of God. So then we are grateful that these men can talk to Brother David about the things of God, so that everybody can know about Jesus. How many believe that everybody ought to know about Jesus? Let's turn to the book of St. Luke, the 24th verse of the 7th chapter. And when the messenger of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. I just want to read this little bit there. I've read this a number of times, but I felt to read it again tonight. You know, there was none greater than John. None greater than John, so far as those that was among the prophets. The law and the prophets until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. We've spoke a number of times concerning things that are happening up to this point, what God is doing. And we spoke about the end of the law and the prophets, and that there is a change at this time, typically speaking, that relates back to the change at Calvary when the law and the prophets came to an end. People that do not understand spiritual things would not understand what we're saying. But nevertheless, there is something that is taking place. Something wonderful that's taking place here in the areas of little Bethlehem. God is doing something great and marvelous, Brother Walker. And I'm glad to be able to have my eyes open to where I can just, let's say, a little bit view what God is trying to bring to pass in our hour. You know, we look back at great things that has happened in the past. We look back at great men that have been on before us. And truly, they were great men. And there was great women. And there were great things that took place back in the years gone by. But you know, somehow it is hard for people to accept the fact that something great is taking place in their lifetime. People, many years ago, they never even allowed themselves to much as think that someday man would walk on the moon. Why, they just didn't dare even think like that. If they had thought like that, if they had discussed it one with another, people would have thought that they had lost their minds and that they were mentally unbalanced. But see, in your day and in my day, it is a common thing for a man to go to the moon. So then we don't look on it as being a great thing at all. It's just something that we do in our day. But it was so far advanced to the days of yesteryear, until it was a great thing. And to think of anybody going to the moon and walking on the moon, why, he would have been nothing less than a god to the people of that time. But as we say, in our day there's been a number of men that's been up to the moon. That's the way it is in the gospel. Looking back into that day, back into the old days, we see great men, we see great things. But then when we look at our day, we don't see the great things that God is doing. It is a true fact that all around us there's great things, even in the natural, that's taking place. But we are so acquainted with the great things that we don't pay any attention to them. It is needless to say that the average individual in the world today lives better than the greatest king many years ago. Just the average individual of today has better facilities, more convenience, lives more plush, and is in more royalty today, just with the average life, than kings who had the very best many years ago. But we take it, as we say, for granted. And we don't see anything in it. It's just our everyday way of life. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, you and I complain and we say that living conditions is not so good. But they're very plush. Very plush. Considering the days of yesteryear, as we say. So then there is something that is taking place in the day that we're living in. Something great is taking place. This is a great moment. This is a great hour. It's a time of learning, a time of enlarging upon the things of God, a time of getting our hearts open, our minds open, a time of great and mighty things taking place. But we that are dwarfed in our experience with God, we cannot see these things. We cannot tell what's going on. We don't know what's going on because we cannot see spiritual things. But I'm glad tonight that by the grace of God, I am able to see spiritual things. I'm glad that I can see in that other dimension and into that other world. I'm glad that I can see that tonight. I'm glad that I know that it exists. I'm glad that I understand that something is happening. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that God has not hid it from me. You know, the Bible says that God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. But I'm glad that God hath not hid it from me. And there are others in the world today, though they be few, yet there are some in the world today that God has not hid it from. And God is making His will known to those few. And when we look into the Spirit, and when we see these great things, our hearts begin to long for Christ. Our minds are so enthused over these things. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if I could have been back yonder many years ago, and if I could have just walked with Jesus, if I could have just walked hand in hand with Him and been in His fellowship, and been in the fellowship of the disciples, it would have been such a great hour. But I want you to know that this is a far greater hour than that. I not only can be in the fellowship of Christ Jesus, but I can, rather than walk hand in hand with Him, I can have Him inside of me and have my spirit and my life so interwoven with Christ that it is not I that speak, but Christ Himself. It is not I that doeth the things that I do, but God within me. It is such a great hour. It is the hour that all of the prophets longed for. The prophets communicated with God, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon them. Moses, as great and mighty as he was, had the Spirit of the Lord with him and had the Spirit of God upon him. the great mighty Elijah had the Spirit of God upon him and had the Spirit of God with him. But today, I don't testify that the Spirit of God is just upon me. And I don't testify that the Spirit of God is just with me. But I testify that God lives inside of me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is inside of me. I have God's Spirit dwelling on the inside of my being. He lives inside of me. We walk together. He is part of me and I'm part of Him. And we are so interwoven that it is no more I that liveth, but Christ that lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. What a wonderful thing to know that I am bone of His bone and I am flesh of His flesh. And today I have the opportunity to be interwoven with Christ, and that I can walk in the presence and in the newness of Christ Jesus. That I can be what Christ was as He walked the earth. I can be the same as He was. And I can know the same wonderful things. I can enter into the holies of holies. And I can have the same understanding, the same knowledge, the same ability, the same power that God had. I can have the same thing in my hour. I don't have to be drafted in the things of God at all. I don't have to say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. For Paul said, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. And I can take the outlook that God is with me and God is my helper. And that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So marvelous is the wonderful presence of God and the wonderful knowledge of God. How wonderful it is to know that even as we read the Scripture, behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he shall prepare the way before me. When we read that, we realize that as great as John the Baptist was, that as outstanding as this great man was, yet he does not compare to the membership of the body of Christ that's in this day. The ones that are in the kingdom, even the very least member today, is greater than John the Baptist. To think that there was none ever born all the way from the time that Adam was created down to the time that John came on the scene. Not one of them was as great as the least member in the body of Jesus Christ today. Not one of them. For among men there is none greater than John, of them that are born of women. But notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Hallelujah. What an opportunity. And we look back at Elijah, and we look back at Moses, and we look back at those people. But oh, beloved friend, today, this is the greatest hour of all. This is the greatest time of all. And when I look for great men, I don't look back for Elijah. I don't look back for Moses. When I look for great men, I look at you. You are the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He that is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh is greater than Moses was. Greater than all of the men of the past. Because this is the very body of Jesus Christ. This is the very, very mouthpiece of God. This is the very God in the earth today. What a wonderful thought to know that I can be what he is and that he is the same as I am, and I am the same as he is. All in the body of Christ and all in the Spirit of God. That's why that we need to wake up. We need to quit daydreaming and looking back in the past. We need to quit looking out in the future. What is there in the future that's going to be greater than what we've got right now? Oh, somebody says something is coming. I heard a man not too long ago said God revealed to him that there's something greater coming. There is a greater person coming on the scene. That is a lie. There is nothing greater that's coming than God himself, which is clothed in human bodies or human flesh right now. There cannot be anything greater than God in a human body. Jesus Christ manifested in human being, speaking through human intelligence. God personifying himself. God showing himself. You know, the devil's always had a neat little practice. And that is to get you to look back in the past at what he calls the great men. You know, the devil never calls a man of God great till he's dead. Did you know that? You take the Catholic Church, they never magnify a man of God till he's dead and he can't do anything. Until he's dead and in his grave, they don't magnify him. All they do is persecute him. Try to tear him down. That's the devil's way. But just as quick as that man's dead, then the devil will magnify him to catch your attention and put your attention on him. But he never puts your mind and attention on the Christ that's inside of the human beings of today. Why is that? Because Satan wants to indoctrinate you with the thoughts that God is dead. That God is a great God. He is a mighty God. But he died when Elijah died. Or Elisha died. That he's gone. He isn't here anymore. And if he ever lived in the life of Elijah, he was carried away back to heaven. He doesn't exist anymore in this world. The devil likes to indoctrinate you with the idea that there is no God around anymore. That God isn't here anymore. That you must go to church, yes. You must serve God, yes. You must meet together in the sanctuary, yes. But as far as God living, no. He wants to make a social benefit out of it. He wants men to come together for business programs. But so far as the Spirit of God is concerned and the life of Christ is concerned, so far as the moving of the Spirit is concerned, Satan wants to do away with that. But what we need today in our hearts and lives is a new infilling of the Spirit of God. We need to be filled again and again with the Holy Ghost. I don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've already got the Holy Ghost. You that have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you don't need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You've already got the Holy Ghost. But there's one thing that we do need, and that is to be daily filled with the Holy Ghost. We need a new infilling of the Spirit of God in the church. Over and over and over we need this wonderful experience. And the devil will do anything to keep you from having it. You can have lunch on Sunday, and he'll help you get up the money to have lunch on Monday. And he'll help you to do a little extra if you won't give it to the church to help with the cause, that you can go out on Tuesday too. And he'll help you have a nice automobile so that you can use it to have a little prestige when you go out. And he can fix it up to where you have better living conditions and better clothing and much better education and speech. Satan will work with you because he is the prince of this world and he loves the things of this world. And he wants to get your mind on the things of this world and cause you to love the things of this world. But the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. If your love is for fine clothing and your love is for fine automobiles and your love is for fine homes and your love is for money and prestige and business, God doesn't live inside of you. The Spirit of God is not inside of you. That's why Jesus made the statement he did when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said to Peter, "Thou savest the things that be of this world, the things that be of man." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God." But he said, "Thou savest the things that be of man." You want the things that be of man, Satan. That's what the Bible says. He didn't just go and say, "You want the things that be of the world." But he said, "Thou savest the things that be of man." You know, you can always recognize the devil, can't you? You say, "How can you recognize him, Brother Pike?" Well, the simple reason, he always wants the things that be of man.
He's always interested in the things that be of man. Now you say, what things are of man, Brother Pike? Building houses, having buildings, having money, having prestige, having the things of this world, having that which is on the tangible side of life, having education, having position. Always that's Satan's way. Satan, thou savest the things that be of man, not the things that be of God. What are the things that be of God? The Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, fasting and praying and preaching, testifying, helping the sick, giving to the poor, being concerned about the world out yonder that's lost without God. That's the things that be of God. Living an overcoming life, having the fruits of the Spirit in your life, being filled with the knowledge of God, meditating in the laws of God day and night, wanting to see the kingdom of God established, giving your life freely for the cause of another, that they might look upon Christ in your life. All of that is the things of God. Taking the substance that you could put into a nice home or a nice vehicle, taking the substance that you might could better your living conditions with, taking that and investing it in lost souls, taking that and giving it to God, taking that and burning like a flame, like a candle lit up for God, trying to reach around the world. That's what God wants you to do. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, I see this in all the great evangelists. I beg your pardon, it's not in the great evangelists. A lot of the great evangelists are going from place to place to establish little groups of people, to have their great massive meetings so that they can get more money, to gather more people, to get more money, that they may have more prestige, more fame, more money. Just being out on the field running from place to place don't prove a thing. I've been out on the field and I went from coast to coast. I've seen great men and I've seen small men, as we say. I've seen great figures. I've seen great people in great temples, great men in great tents. I've seen all kinds of things. But that didn't prove that they were serving God. When you got right down to the basic facts, you found out their interest wasn't in lost souls, but rather in magnifying themselves. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what avenue of life you take, whether you give your duties to God at Bethlehem, or whether you give your duties to God in evangelism, or whether you give yourself to God in other things in the missionary fields. Just so long as you give yourself to God, just so long as you do what God has told you to do, just so long as you are concerned about God's kingdom and God's people, this is what you need to do. If you have the love of the world in you, then Satan lives on the inside of you. For Satan savors the things that be of this world. He savors the things that be of man. He savors the things that be materialistic. He savors the things that can feed the belly, that can make comfortable the flesh. You know, I've noticed one thing in my lifetime, and as a rule, I found this holds true. Men who profess to be godly men and women who profess to be godly women, as a rule, never have real problems with their companions or with their children or in their homes or with their finance, unless they are getting worldly minded, unless they're getting carnally minded, unless they're withdrawing from God and getting interested in the flesh and the passions of the body. But when they get interested in the things of the world and in the passions of the body, I find as a standing rule, they always run into trouble. The first news you know, they're separated. The first news you know, they can't control the children. The first thing that you see is that they're having real problems. They can't get along with each other. They can't get along with their neighbors. But brothers and sisters, when you get to serving God and when you get interested in God and when you get down to business with God, all the paths of God are peace. Hallelujah. All the things of God are peace. All the ways of God are peace. Because you get down to business with God. You get down to business with God. You become concerned about others. You begin to look on the things of another. You're interested in the things of another. When Jesus used the terms to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that means the Japanese, that means the Chinese, that means the white man, that means the black man. That means everybody throughout the world, the German. That means all of those that are scattered abroad. It is my job, it is my duty. I am indebted, Paul said, to preach the gospel to every creature as much as lieth within me. I must pay my debt. I must pay my debt. For I am a debtor, he said, to the Greek, to the barbarian. I am a debtor. I must pay my debt. You say, Paul, how can you be a debtor? Because Christ died for me. He gave his life for me. He bore my sins. He suffered in his body on the tree that I might be his, that I am bought with a price. I am a debtor to him. I am a debtor to my fellow man. I must pay my debt. You know, another way that we pay our debt is by living an overcoming life. I must live an overcoming life. It is necessary for me to live an overcoming life. You know, people that go by feeling always get in trouble. They say, I don't feel as good today as I felt yesterday. I don't feel like God is with me as much today as I felt He was yesterday. As a consequence of that, they're always up and down. They always have problems. You talk to them and they say, well, I just don't feel good about it. I just don't feel like this is right. I don't feel like I've made it. I don't feel like I can do it. But let me tell you, that isn't the way that it's done. That isn't the way God recommended. If you go that way, you're going to have trouble. If you go that way, you're going to be lost. If you go that way, you're going to fall somewhere because God doesn't recommend that we go that route. Brother, some days you'll feel good. Some days you'll feel bad. Some days you'll feel like you're God's right-hand person. The next day you'll feel that God has forsaken you altogether. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, that can't be. Then why did Jesus cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So then, it's not how you feel, but it's according to what you believe. It's not what I think, for I think all kinds of things. Sometimes I have nightmares. Sometimes I have all kinds of dreams. God hasn't left it up to me as to what I think. For the Bible teaches that God is abundantly above all that I can ask or think. God hasn't left it up to me as to my desires for me to pray and ask God. For the Bible said the Spirit maketh intercession for me and my soul to God with groans and moans that I cannot utter. He searcheth the heart. He is the high priest. He is within the temple. Christ is in the holies of holies. He maketh intercession to God for me. It's not left up to me as how I feel. Christ said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's what God said about it. God said, if I draw nigh to him, he'd draw nigh to me. He said, if my ways pleased him, he'd make my enemies be at peace with me. He said he would make me to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed me with the heritage of Jacob. He said he would make all of my beds in the time of my sickness. He said that no man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For it is Christ that died for you. It is Christ that justifies you. It is not what I think. It is not what somebody said. It is not how I feel. It is what I believe. I believe. I believe. And what do I believe? I believe the Word of God. I don't believe what my grandmother taught me. I don't believe what I've heard my neighbors say. I don't believe what some preacher said. But I believe what God's Word says about it. And if the preacher is in harmony with God's Word, I believe the preacher. If my grandmother's in harmony with God's Word, I believe my grandmother. If those that inform me, those that I communicate with, those that I fellowship with, if they tell me God's Word, I believe in that person. But oh, let me tell you something, beloved. I've learned something in my lifetime. I talk to all kinds of people. I talk to the banker. I talk to the garbage man. I talk to all kinds of people. But those people don't move me. Those people don't affect me. I talk to preachers. I talk to religious men. I talk to religious people all over the world. But they don't move me. It doesn't matter how they feel or what they say. It doesn't matter what they prophesy to me, what they dream about me, or what kind of vision they had about me. It doesn't move me. It's what God's Word said concerning me. Amen. Down through the years, I've held God's Word. And I've watched men that move by prophecies. And I've watched men that move by visions. And I've watched people that move by dreams. And I've watched people that move by feelings. And I've seen them all crumble somewhere along the line. But, beloved friend, tonight, walking by the Word of God tonight, I'm strong, hallelujah. I feel stronger than I ever felt in my entire life. I feel positive in God's Word, hallelujah. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I've proven it through the years, it works. It doesn't work for those that feel like it's going to work. It doesn't work for somebody that had a vision it's going to work. It doesn't work for somebody that had a dream that it's going to work. It doesn't work for somebody that somebody told that it's going to work. But it works for those that believe what God said about it in His Word. It works. Every day in the week, 365 days a year, around the clock, it works. Every circumstance, every problem, it works. It works when you've got financial difficulties. It works when you've got sicknesses. It works when you've got problems. It works. All because God's Word said it. I believe in my heart that the greatest mistake in the church world today is people that are going by feelings and what they think and what they've heard. You know, you say, well, I fellowship with somebody and I don't feel so good. I'd have been better off if I hadn't fellowship with them. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. A lot of people that you run into is nothing but a bramble bush. And the Bible teaches you don't gather figs from a bramble bush. So you're going to get pricked in your heart. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've got God in your life, if you've got Christ in your heart, if you've really been born again, you're not going to be up today and down tomorrow. Somebody say, but I had a good feeling. But that doesn't mean you're born again. You say, but I believe that I'm all right. But that doesn't mean you're all right. Because you may believe that you're all right today and you may believe you're all wrong tomorrow. Then what must I do, Brother Pike? What is proof of a real born again experience? Glory to God, when you're born to the nature of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. That nature is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth, which is God's Spirit. Which is the Spirit of the Word, for God is the Word. And when you have the Spirit of the Word on the inside of you, the nature of the Word, the proof that you've been born again, is that you believe in God's promises, you believe in God's Word, you walk in God's Word. And you won't have it any other way. No matter what kind of thoughts come to you, no matter who you fellowship, no matter what you're told, no matter how you feel, your spirit believes in the Word of God every day in the week. When you're sick and you can't hardly go, your spirit sings songs of gladness to God. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, just believing in God makes me feel good. If you want to feel good, then start a little believing. Most people wait to feel to believe, but Jesus said believe to feel. Most people wait to see before they believe, but Jesus said believe to see. The church world should get out of the rut that it's in, which is the old carnal mind of doubt, surmising and reasoning. Get away from the human passions of feeling. Stand on the Word of God. We sang that song, I'm standing, oh, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing, how are you standing, Brother Pike, on feeling? No, because sometimes I don't feel good. Are you standing on reasoning? No, sometimes I don't reason too good. Are you standing on what somebody told me? No, because sometimes they tell me something different. They get all mixed up, and one day they tell me one thing, and the next day they tell me something else. Are you standing on visions? No, because one day I have this kind of vision, the next day I have that kind of vision. The same way with dreams. I dream it this way one day and dream it another way the next day. What then are you standing on? I'm standing on the promises of God. What God said in the Word, God's promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. When God says something, I believe it. I believe it with all of my life, all of my heart, all of my mind and my soul, I believe it. I don't question it. God said it. I believe it. You say, but Brother Pike, what about that you feel and see? I pay no attention to that. It's that though it was never there, it don't exist as far as I'm concerned. God's Word said it. To me, that settles it. Praise God, it doesn't matter. I become trouble like you become trouble. I have problems like you have problems. I get into financial difficulty like you get into financial difficulty. I have sickness to sweep over my body like you do. I have clouds of doubt to hamper me as it does you. I have the feeling that I'm cut off many times like you do. But then I have the feelings that I can never be cut off many times like you do. But you know what I do? I'm standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah! When I feel good, I'm still standing on the promises of God. When I feel bad, I'm still standing on the promises of God. What God said, I believe it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When we walk together, when we fellowship together, when we base our salvation on God's Word, when we search this book, when we do like John and we take and eat the whole book, when we take this as our God, when we take this as our life, when we meditate in it day and night. Oh, beloved brother and sister. Glory to God, it becomes such a great thing. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Christ is my helper. For I will help thee, thy worm, Jacob. Hallelujah! And the Holy Ghost speaks from heaven within my heart and within my life to make me what I ought to be. Hallelujah! Glory to God, hallelujah! The black woman made this statement one time. She said, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But it's for sure I'm not what I used to be. I'm different. That makes me know that something has happened in my life. I'm different. Betty and I used to sing the song, "It's different now since Jesus took control. It's different now since Christ came and made me whole." Glory to God, it's different. You can be strong tonight, brothers and sisters. You can be powerful tonight. Be a person of faith. Glory to God, it doesn't matter if you feel like you got cancer. It doesn't matter if you've got a headache. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're having a heart attack. It doesn't matter if you feel like all of your strength is drained from you. It doesn't matter if you feel like that you're going to be crushed by the weights and the doubts and the problems of life. Stand up and say, "God, it doesn't matter. Whatever you say, it's all right. I still believe." I remember many years ago, I've told it a number of times, when Betty and I was out on the field and our children was real small. And it was cold. Cold. And there we was in a little old house trying to keep warm. Trying to believe God. And I believed God. I did it in my own feeble little way, but I still believe God, and Betty believed God. I said, "Betty, we want to work for Jesus, but we don't have any way." But I said, "The Lord will help us, because He said He would help us." And I was sitting there that night. Everything had folded up. And the little old house that we was in, the rent had come due. And they was fixing to put us out of that, and we was off in another far place. Had no one to help us. And I sat there, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and I got broken. And as I sat there talking to God, I said, "Oh God, I've tried to follow You and do the things that You've told me to. I've tried to walk in the Spirit, God. And I've tried to do the best that I can. But I know that I've stumbled." And I said, "Lord, we're at the point where nobody can help us. Nobody cares for us." But I said, "Jesus, if You want to crush me," I said, "it's all right." I said, "I feel crushed, Jesus. But I said, if it takes crushing me to bring the aroma of Christ and the fragrance of God out to others for my life, I said, go ahead and do it, Jesus." And the great Spirit of God came upon me. And the God of heaven took my body like that. I felt this mighty surge, and I could hear Him speak from heaven, saying, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Glory to God, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world." And just within a few minutes, here come the knock at the door. And here steps up to my door a young lawyer and his wife, dressed, the woman with a mink stole around her neck, dressed fancy in a nice, beautiful trailer, pulled up in my yard, and they had come from many miles, stopped at that old run-down house, and had to pull that trailer over there with one window out of a truck, and it cold, and that was what they had to pull it with. But I had passed by there one day, and I looked at that trailer, and I said, "Pity, God's going to give me that trailer." And they were strangers. A big, beautiful mansion setting up on the hillside where the trailer was. Way away, but I walked by and I claimed in the name of Jesus. Right at my lowest moment, in the greatest moment of despair, that knock came at the door. And that lawyer, when I opened the door, he said, "I got something for you." Oh, can't you imagine what that's like? Hallelujah! Can't you imagine what that's like? There was nobody to help me. All of a sudden, God giving me a cozy little home. Beautiful. Everything just right for my little family. Hallelujah. Why? Because I believe. I remember in Alabama, I've told it numbers of times, when I didn't have an automobile, no way to go. And I went to the back room and I prayed. And I come back and I said, "Betty, I know we don't have a car." I said, "But God said He just gave me one." I said, "It'll be here, Betty." And it wasn't but a day or two before a man out of a Christian church, not a Pentecostal person, but out of a formal church, a retired businessman, come by and said, "Preacher, don't you need an automobile?
I said, yes, sir, I do, but God said he'd already give me one. He said, well, he has. And he took me down to the neighboring town and paid cash for me a beautiful automobile. Didn't charge me a dime for it. Said, it's yours, preacher. God did it. Why? Because I believed in God. You know, today I have to believe God for hundreds of thousands of dollars. But God still meets the needs. And God will always meet the needs because God said it. And I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, he said. I still believe it. All of my needs takes in the healing of my body. It takes in the healing of my wife and my children. It takes keeping my children under the control of the Word and keeping them safe. It takes making me happy. It takes blessing my spiritual children at Bethlehem and abroad everywhere. It takes in many things when God said, I will supply all of your needs, for I have given thee all things that pertain unto life. He hasn't robbed me of anything. When I think about that, I don't look back to yesterday, nor I don't look to the future. For he is not the God of I was, nor the God of I shall be. But he is the great I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am a present help in the time of need. I'm the healer, Jesus said. I am he that was dead and now I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I am, Jesus said. Moses, you go down in Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the children go. But who shall I say sent me, Lord? Tell him I am sent you. Glory to God, you tell him I'm standing right here, Moses. He better do what I said. Hallelujah. I'm in you, Moses, or I'm with you, Moses. I'm standing by you, Moses. Tell him to get on the job because we're fixing to get the job done. Don't you love Jesus? You're the temples of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. Don't go by feeling. I see so many people up and down and defeated. The devil talks them out of their experience with God. You believe what God said about it. You believe it. Don't ever turn loose of it. I don't care how you feel. Hold on to God's Word. We sang that song, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Though time is filled with swift transition, but hold to God's unchanging hand. I want you to stand with me. Just a little exhortation tonight to let you know that Jesus loves you and that Jesus cares for you. Hallelujah. That song says, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. I'm so glad that God has not built this thing on feeling. I'm so glad that it's built on faith. I can rest with a sure hope. In that his word is never altered, it's settled in heaven. I can rest with a sure hope. I can always say, Jesus said it. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Jesus said, it is written. Jesus didn't say, get thee behind me, Satan, because I feel like I'm a son of God. Or I've got the victory because I feel good. He said, Satan, it is written. Glory to God, any time you turn your faith over like that, and when the devil comes harassing you and oppressing you, you say, Satan, get thee behind me, because God's Word said it. It's written. And I'll tell you what, you believe that, and you'll put him on the go. You'll put him on the go. Every time you'll put him on the go. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. It is written. Jesus didn't deny that. Isn't that beautiful to know that it is written, that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, that he loves thee, and that he hath given his angels charge concerning thee. He said to the angel, I give thee charge concerning Frank Taylor. Don't you let anything happen to him. And I give you charge concerning Al Gonzalez, and don't you let the devil hurt him. And I give you charge concerning Gilbert Curry, and don't you let the devil touch him. For the Bible says he is born of God. He keepeth himself, and that evil one toucheth him not. He don't touch him. all down through the years, the mistakes, the stumbling, all the errors. But see, we were sealed on the inside by the great Holy Spirit. And during all that pilgrimage and all of that problem, Satan never touched you one time. Not one time. Not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blemish. The bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. All through the years. And the minister's always crying out to perfect your faith in that finished atonement. I am a helper of your faith. We wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. Your faith in what? By the hearing of the promises. To believe the promises. For thus it is written. Let's get perfect in faith tonight. Let's don't be broken in faith. Let's don't waver. Abraham asked in faith, nothing wavering. He was strong in faith. Giving glory to God, not because he felt it. For his body had grown old and he was past the age. But because the Bible said he judged him faithful who promised, for thus it was written. And Abraham said he promised. And somebody would say, but Abraham, you're beside yourself. Don't you know you and Sarah could never do that? Don't be foolish, Abraham. But Abraham said, but he promised. Amen. Thus it is written, Abraham said, he promised. God will do it. That's the way it's supposed to be. God will do it. And I believe in the days of Noah, they come by and they said, why, you funny old man. Don't be so silly. And maybe somebody came by and said, now look, Noah, we've been friends for a long time. Let me talk to you. Man, you're beside yourself building this big old gob of a thing here. What are you doing? Why, you know nothing like all of that wild thinking that you got going in your head. Why, there's nothing in thing. You know that's not going to happen. Noah, nothing like that's ever happened. But old Noah said, but I had a visitation from God. And the word of God said that it was coming. I believe it. God said it thus. It is written. I believe it. And so it happened. It began to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. See, it is written. It is written. What God said, it must come to pass. His word cannot be altered. It must come to pass. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man shall come. For thus it is written, he hath said it. The stars shall fall from heaven. The moon shall turn into blood. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump from mortality to immortality. From corruptible to incorruptible. From terrestrial to celestial. It is written that it must happen. From the corruptible to the incorruptible we must go. It is written. It will happen. It will happen. Let's sing a little chorus together. Take the word of God. The song says, take the... Can you? What is the name? It's God, the Word, made manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and they called His name Jesus. Can you sing it again? Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. And it will joy and comfort give thee. Take it then wherever you go. Can you sing it with me? Oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and heaven. Oh, precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of joy of earth and heaven. You know, do you really take the name of Jesus with you? Do you really do that? Do you really do it? Do you really do it? You know, today has been a special day. I say again, there's no special days with God. I know that every day is with Jesus. But typically speaking, as we are enlightened by the great revelation of Christ, it has been a special day. Something has been taking place today. And inasmuch as it has, I wonder tonight, as we sing together, I wonder if we can gather around the altar. Every once in a while, we do this for a new dedication. To get a new vision, to awake our souls from the stage of lethargy that Satan tries to get us into. The little boy said yesterday as I talked with him, he said, "Brother Pike, in the vision that I saw, or the dream, said the voice said, or I was made to know, that the days of the Gentiles are finished and over, that the door to the Gentile has closed." Isn't that sad to think like that? But then why would God tell a little child? Why would God allow a little child to think like that? There must be some reason. There must be something involved that he would think like that. There has to be something that prompted him to have such a dream. Can Brother Tommy's little boy come up here? Can you stand right out here, sonny boy? Jesus said, "A little child shall lead them." Do you remember telling me yesterday that in a dream or vision you saw, read, or heard, or both, that the days of the Gentiles was over or the door was closed to the Gentile church? Can you come up here and tell them over the mic? Oh, there's one. That's good.
Well, my uncle, me and Brother George, and he was outside. My uncle ran outside, and he came out there and said, "Brother George, y'all come here. The days of Gentile have closed. You know, the doors are closed to the Gentile." So we ran in, and we got this little packet home. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." But the picture was somewhere else in the house. And God had wrote a different poem on it, but it didn't say nothing about the Gentiles' door closing. Brother George read it, and it just meant that the doors have closed, but it didn't say nothing. And it had on the bottom of it, said, "Two more days." And I think that meant two more days till he's going to come back. Well, anyway, we went on. We were supposed to have church that night, or service. And we, over there near Sears, we all sat down out there and started singing, and all some of us and some more came out there, and a few more of us came out there. Then we started singing out there. We had church out there. And anyway, the cars were backed up for long miles. That's all I remember.
Praise God. Thank you, sir. Something is taking place. You'll agree to that. See, why did he have a dream like that right here at the time that we said that these things was taking place spiritually? Or speaking revelationally, why was it that I said at this very time that something like that was taking place, and then the little lad have the dream or night vision that he had? Why would he do that? Well, you say, Brother Pike, it doesn't mean anything. Perhaps not. Let's hope that it had a different meaning. It's for sure it had some kind of meaning. God spoke to Joseph in dreams. But let's just hope that it's got a different meaning. And maybe the 2 days could mean that there's a little more time. Let's just take it that way and hope for the very best.